Down in Walla Walla, where I was previously assigned as a priest, the other priests and I would half-jokingly refer to our oldest church, St. Patrick's, as the historic cathedral. After all, that brick Gothic church is old. It was built in 1881. It's before Washington State was even a state. And more importantly, there really was, in fact, a diocese of Walla Walla. It was established in the mid-1800s and led by the missionary bishop, A.M.A. Blanchette. However, after hostilities broke out between Native Americans and European settlers following the Whitman Massacre, which took place in Walla Walla, Bishop Blanchette was eventually forced to relocate to Nisqually, which eventually became the Archdiocese of Seattle. The Diocese of Walla Walla was in turn suppressed, or in other words, made inactive. Through it all, through all these trials and ups and downs, Bishop Blanchette, like countless bishops before and after him, had a singular task: announcing Christ, announcing his action. In other words, proclaiming the gospel. And truth be told, the Diocese of Walla Walla was suppressed in 1853, well before St. Patrick became a parish in 1859, with little more than a dirt floor shed as a church. So St. Patrick in Walla Walla never was a cathedral, historic or otherwise. But we, on the other hand, we are standing or sitting, as the case may be, in a real cathedral. And even though this church building may not be as old as St. Patrick Church building in Walla Walla, it is truly remarkable that our church spires have marked the Spokane skyline for over a century. This church was dedicated in 1908. Another less publicly visible feature of the cathedral are those three chairs right over there. The cathedra, or bishop's chair, is a symbol of the diocesan bishop's teaching authority and mission. It literally puts the cathedra in the word cathedral. The cathedra and accompanying bishop and accompanying deacon chairs we see now are in fact the original set for the Diocese of Spokane. And this is pretty neat. You can actually find online in the diocesan digital archives a picture of Spokane's first bishop, Bishop Schinner, posing in front of that cathedra in an image from 1914. Granted, we know that the cathedra has taken on various forms in the past century here in Spokane. You may recall that marble throne that used to be in the vestibule of the church, the more contemporary seat of more recent memory. But nevertheless, the significance of the cathedra remains profound. It represents the abiding, centuries-old mission of the church and her bishops. This mission is the announcing of Christ, of announcing his action. Christ's action includes both what he has done for us in the past through his incarnation, ministry, passion, death, and resurrection, and also it includes what he does to this day: his healing, his calling to holiness, his invitation to communion. The task of announcing Christ's action is a perennial one. The good news must be proclaimed anew for every generation. This was the task of Bishop Blanchette in the mid-1800s, Bishop Schinner in the early 1900s, and Bishop Daly today. Our bishops have been especially entrusted with this task, but they cannot do it alone. As many of you are likely aware, this weekend across our diocese is annual Catholic Appeal Commitment Weekend. Hopefully you've already received some items in the mail already from the diocese about this. And I encourage you, as you prayerfully consider how you can financially support our diocese and the ministry of our bishop, I invite you to see yourself doing more than going through a yearly ritual that we just happen to call the annual Catholic Appeal. Rather, recognize yourself as truly participating in the Church's perennial mission of announcing Christ's action. While this mission is the same throughout the centuries and generations, it varies from time and place. So I think it's helpful for us to consider, what exactly are we contributing to? What are we cooperating with when we talk about the ministry of the bishop or the ministry of the diocese. Perhaps we can consider in a special way the support that our diocese provides in leadership and in resources to our Catholic schools. And Bishop Daly, especially with his 20-plus years of experience as a teacher and administrator, certainly knows what he wants from our Catholic education. Just this past week at the No Love Serve Assembly that has been taking place every year, our new director of Catholic education, Katie Rickers, was working through teachers from across the diocese and figuring out how can we implement a new religion curriculum that truly passes on the faith to our children. Furthermore, we can consider those young adults who are going to school at Eastern and Wazoo, how they are served by Newman Centers supported by our diocese, supported by the ACA. Because of you and your contributions, these young people can be reached at an important juncture in their lives. We can consider what we do for people who are perhaps the most forgotten, those who are in prison, who are incarcerated, who certainly are in need of God's mercy, who can stand to hear the words from scriptures, our scripture readings today, of how it is the Son who first said no, but in fact did the Father's will. This is the Son who is the one who did his Father's will. That there is that second chance, that ability to turn to conversion and receive God's mercy. And for every priest you may see at the altar, at the pulpit, encounter in the confessional who's from Spokane, it's because of you, because of the contributions of faithful men and women in the past years in the ACA, that the education of me and my other brother priests in Spokane was possible. And this education, frankly, it doesn't seem to end. I thought I was done with school when I finished seminary, but God so has it that I'm currently working towards a Master's of Science in Bioethics to help even be a further resource to our priests, to our doctors, and to the faithful here in Eastern Washington. Again, this education supported by the ACA. And personally, I'm very grateful for what you've done for me as a seminarian, and now as a priest. And so this is just a little taste of what we are contributing to, what we are participating with. And frankly, by virtue of the Incarnation, we live in an incarnational church. We believe in the goodness of created reality. And so while it is important for us certainly to pray for the bishop and his ministry, we must also realize that we must confront the material needs, the needs of paying the bills, as it were, and investing our resources. Practically speaking, as a parish, we are being asked to raise $143,071 for this year's ACA. That is the third largest goal in the diocese. But I am confident that we will fulfill that and that we will exceed that. In fact, if we do exceed that goal, the excess monies that are collected will in fact be returned back to the parish. And Father Connell has made the decision that this will go straight into our capital campaign to continue our improvements and renovations of our beautiful cathedral church. As the members of the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes, the Mother Church, the hosts of the Bishop's Cathedra, in a special way we have a place of leadership to show the other parishes in the diocese how to support our bishop. So my hope, my challenge, is that in addition to meeting this goal, I hope that we are the first parish with over 1,000 households to reach our goal. Now, maybe a bit ambitious, but as the Mother Church is the cathedral, I think that we're up to the task. Some other practical notes. Some people may be a little confused or even wary about the timing of the ACA this year, realizing that there are, in fact, two ACAs in the year 2017. We had one in the winter, and now we have one happen in the fall. Some may be wondering, what is the point of this? Is the diocese trying to double dip into my giving? I'm being as generous as I am. What's going on? One thing to remember, first of all, is that each ACA funds a distinct fiscal year. So the ACA in the winter is funding our current fiscal year, 17-18. The ACA now for the fall will be funding the fiscal year after that, 18-19. After this transition year, the ACA will now only take place in the fall. Some may be asking, why the fall? Why this change? First, on the part of the diocese, it allows our bishop and the people assisting him be better financial stewards of the resources given to them. It can be difficult that having the ACA at this time allows them to more accurately project what resources they will have, how they could allocate the budget. And also for us, having this ACA take place in the fall rather than winter can help us practice that spiritual discipline of offering our first fruits to the Lord. In a couple months, we'll be going through our holiday season with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and there may be a lot of expenses associated with that. Why not consider, how can I offer my first fruits to the Lord out of Thanksgiving before we enter into these times of celebration? And another thing to note is that some people may be worried that if I pledge now, I haven't fulfilled my previous pledge. That's okay. You can just finish your pledge from the winter, and you can begin to fulfill your pledge for the fall as soon as that previous pledge is over, or maybe as when the year 2018 begins. So we're not asking for actual checks to come, and simply a commitment to support the ministry of our bishop. So for those of you here who have already considered your pledge and made that commitment, thank you so much for your for that. And for those of you who noticed the envelopes that came in the mail and brought those envelopes in the mail, thank you as well. And I think we also have some other extra envelopes lying in the pews. And I will have some time after this homily to give people some time to fill those out if they are able to at this point. However, if today you're not able to really come up with a prudential commitment, I encourage you, take that envelope home with you or find that mailer in your inbox and pray. Pray over the needs of the diocese. Pray over how you can make a return to the Lord, knowing that because of you, we are the diocese, our bishop, is able to continue to do the work that he's doing. And personally, I believe wholeheartedly in the ministry of our bishop. Granted, as a priest, I made a solemn promise to obey the diocesan bishop and his successors, so that's official. But more than that, this is truly a moment of excitement for me to consider that we are preparing to invest the resources God has given us to give him glory over the course of the next fiscal year and to support our bishop, who is a successor to the apostles, who ties us in with the universal church. That is profound. And not to build myself up, or, you know, but as a priest, as a leader of the faith community, I just want to point out to you that myself and other priests across the diocese, including Father Connell, Monsignor Pearson, are donating at the level of at the bishop's circle level. That's the $1,000 and above. And I'm committed to actually increasing that as the years go on. I don't want you to just sit there and just for the sake of having that that title, as it were, but truly to give and give. We are all in various places in our lives, financial resources and strains or what have you. So I ask you to prayerfully consider how you can make a generous return to the Lord as we support our bishop in announcing Christ's action.